waking up with Brisbane's most dysfunctional family. This is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Oh, here we go.
Good morning.
Hey, can I check something?
Yes.
Are we shift workers? Do you think we're shift workers?
I would say so. We work outside of the normal 8 to 5 hour, yeah, 9 to 5.
Guess so.
Working now.
Why do you ask, Marty?
Because I said to Kath, for some reason, I said, now listen, I'm a shift
worker. I was talking to my wife.
No. Oh, she was complaining. She cooked dinner last night, and then she said, I'll load up the dishwasher, and I'll clean up. I said, listen, I've got to go to work.
You always cook.
No, I don't.
Don't you?
No.
I thought you were the cook in the house.
No, that's a misconception.
Oh, misconception.
That is indeed a misconception.
He's been feeding that misconception.
Is that why I've just created myself, or have you led me to believe that?
No, I've never said that.
I thought you were the cook of the house.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Really.
Is Kath a good
Fish.
Cook?
Yeah, really good.
You bring some incredible leftovers in, Marto.
They're from her.
Yes, okay.
But I think she was more whingy about cleaning up. And I'm cleaning up. And I went, you're married to a shift worker. I've made those work.
She said, you're not stacking, shelves at Coles or anything.
At midnight.
So she said, you're not a shift worker, mate. You just start work a little early. And I looked it up.
Here we go.
Any work that takes place outside ordinary hours of work, e.g. 7 to 5, is a shift worker to provide continual service across 24 hours of the clock. We are one of the team that provides service across 24 hours.
Yes, we are.
Shift workers.
However, worker or not.
I was going to say, is there a loading on
the
whatever you get paid? Have you looked into that?
The rule in the house, though, is the cook doesn't clean up.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
I don't often talk movies, but Sliding Doors, is that the name? Is that a concept or the name of a movie?
Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, it's a movie.
And it's a concept.
It's also a concept, Sliding Doors moment.
Yeah, but tell me what happened in the movie. There was one
moment,
there was something.
Well, one thing that made her late, and it just kind of had a domino effect, and then she missed the train, the doors closed.
Life changed.
And her life changed from that point, because in that moment, she should have been on the train, she should have gone to work as a normal day, but because she missed the train, she had this feeling where she just turned around and she walked, and anyway, she ended up finding out that her husband was having an affair and all sorts of stuff. So, so it's that one moment that's so pivotal, it could spin your life on its axis and just flip it.
All right. Do you remember when an equivalent?
Oh, there is a sport analogy here. This was a thought on sport.
Surprisingly enough, there's a rugby league equivalent here. Matt Lodge. Remember when the Broncos wanted to make him captain? After, I'm not talking about his New York incident. I'm talking, remember where Seabold said, I think we'll make Matt Lodge captain. That'll be a great idea.
And the Broncos went, no, that won't be great for sponsorship.
That never happened. And where is Matt Lodge right now?
Former Bronco Matt Lodge has made a surprise code switch. Just days after being released from the Warriors, the former NRL big man has popped up in rugby, playing second grade for Brisbane Norths in a midweek game.
Wow. What happened? Well, they're saying.
Lodge joined to keep fit while waiting to make his next move in rugby league, his own registration fees, and will start in first grade this weekend if he wants to play.
Now, Brisbane North Rugby Club, a wonderful bunch of people, wonderful organisation, not far from where I live, etc. I love the blokes. Haven't won a premiership since 1976. He's playing reserve grade for them. They're the worst club in Brisbane, okay? That's what you need to remember. I don't know. He must live nearby and wander past go, what are they doing?
The whole thing is really strange, though, Marto. He was playing for the Warriors. The Warriors have to go back to New Zealand, and he decided, I don't want to go.
He's saying, I couldn't see my family living in New Zealand for a long-term future. Therefore, that means to me, if you're a rugby league player, you'll go anywhere to make a dollar. His wife said, there's no way I'm living over there, correct? Here's the big one.
Her family's here,
too. Warriors have paid him $700,000, despite him saying, hey, I'm not with you guys anymore. I hear you're heading back to New Zealand. I'm not in on that gig. They've given him $700,000.
They paid him out.
Paid him. But he was the bloke that said, I don't want to play anymore. He was only on $550,000 a season before he just quit.
Yeah, there'd be some sort of clause in there to say that if it goes against their wishes or will,
it's
or
not
I don't
a
know,
bad
something.
Gig, though.
Yeah,
bloody hell.
Hold on.
So he's getting $750 to play for Brisbane North. What's happening?
What's he doing now? Is he trying to?
He'll go to Redcliffe, surely.
Aha, gotcha. Because his wife's father is the recruitment manager for the Dolphins. Well, why has he bought a house in Sydney? There's little rumours that he's going to Manly. Connect the dots up and they don't seem to make a pretty... I don't know what's going on here.
Has he recently bought the house in Sydney, or was that an old house that he had that he's using as an investment property?
Perhaps that's the thing. Perhaps he's a shrewd investor. Well, you're very shrewd if you quit a club and they give you $700,000. Or does he want to play rugby? Does he want to go back to New York? They've got a professional team over there in New York. He seemed to really enjoy himself last time he was there.
Yeah.
He had a great time.
Is he not allowed back there, I don't think?
Oh, is he?
Is he banned?
What we've worked out is he missed the train or something. I don't know. Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast. Hey, got Triple M's rumour file coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. You know, if you give us a rumour, something that you might have heard during the week at your work or maybe school drop-off, something local, business-related, sports-related, $1,000 could be yours.
Marto, you were telling me a story earlier in the week about the fact that you had a flat tyre.
Mm.
And I didn't really go into much detail because I didn't really care. I was like, that's nice for you.
What day did I tell you? Because I had three in 3 weeks and then I had another one Tuesday. Everyone loves going, oh, Marto, you know you've got a flat tyre on the Triton.
Well, somebody told me. They're like, oh, does Marto know he's got a flat tyre? And they were running out at the office doors. And I'm like, no, he knows. He's well aware.
I got told by a number of people.
And you know there's always two sides to every story?
Hmm.
Well, this week on another radio show that happens to live inside our building, it's one of those girly stations. There's a bloke called Stav on there. And apparently you and Stav had a bit of an encounter.
I like Stav.
In regard to your flat tyre. And now this, I want to clarify the story.
Yeah. Why?
Because this is his side of it.
Marto, who works at the Triple M, but it's in the same building.
He had a flat.
Oh, yeah, g'day, mate. What do I end with that?
There is no way that Marto would have asked you to help with a flat tyre.
Well, he did.
Because, you know, he's an elder statesman, and he goes, can you give me a hand? I was like, I literally was like, yeah, Dad, I can help. Then you can tell me how good a job I did. This is so much fun. Yes, I will help you, Dad. I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll put a little bit of oil on my hands first so it'll look like I got dirty.
Is this his ute?
Yeah. Well, it's actually his son's ute.
Not only did he car shame you.
Did I say I liked Stav?
You did actually.
He age shamed you, and I will not have it as my elderly co-host.
Yes, thank you. Now listen, Stav's not that much younger than me, but anyway, this actually did happen with old Stick Arms, if he ever hears this. Stick Arms come down, I'm underneath the ute going, and I was swearing because my son in his Triton, and we swapped cars, well, he took my car and I inherited the Triton. And I knew this last week because I had a flat tyre last week. I made it to the Caxton Hotel from this building, pulled in and went, oh, Jesus, didn't have the right tool.
Can you stop waving that around? Yeah, it's very dangerous.
These are Stav's tools that I borrowed, and I thought I'll bring them up so I can give it to him today. But last week I had to get the RACQ to help me change a bloody tyre.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, I know. I haven't got the little thing to jack it up.
I know you can change a tyre because you've helped me change a tyre for my car.
Because I can change a bloody tyre. So that's twice I've had to ask for help, once from the RACQ, and I wasn't going to get the RACQ downstairs. I said, here's the real story. I said, Stav, can I borrow you? I don't even know what the name
is.
No, that bit there.
The twirly bit.
Haven't got the tyre iron, but no, I've sorted that out. The bit that twirls to make the jack go up, whatever you call that.
Yeah, the twirly bit.
All right, he said, where would it be? I said, all right, listen, open up the back. He's got a little Suzuki thingy. Open up the back. He said, now where would it be? I said, underneath here. He's obviously never changed the tyre.
Never changed a tyre.
He said, now where would it be? I said, it's that there. Can I just grab that and that? And he said, do you need a hand? I said, no, you go home and I'll give you the tool tomorrow. And it's 2 days later, and that's why I thought I'd better give him his tool back. So obviously, somebody said he's not at work today. He may have had a flat tyre.
Good. That's karma.
Well deserved for age shaming
you. But I was incredibly surprised that you, of all people, because you are the manliest of men of men,
but I didn't have the right tool. Well, I had to get it off somebody.
For tools.
I asked one of the street teamers. They had no idea. I got my music
on. You got the that I've had.
You got now, Stick Arms tools.
You were just talking about old Stick Arm Stav from B105. I borrowed his tyre. What did we say it was?
A wheel brace.
I'd forgotten the name. Anyway, I brought it in here so I could give it back. There's nothing worse than people who borrow tools and don't give them back, because next time you go to use it, you don't
have it. It's not there. And you're a responsible tool borrower. Because you brought them in to return them.
Can we talk about those people who don't bring them back? Because I'd hate to think that Stav's on his little radio show
saying, Marto hasn't returned them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be known as that guy. Can we name and shame? Is there any chance to this morning?
Yeah, of course.
Like if your mate Steve borrowed your mower and 3 weeks later hasn't given it back, I want to hear from you. And we'll shame him.
Maybe they broke it. And they had to replace it. Or they gave it back broken and then pretended like it was already broken before they gave it back.
You know my theory. I will never, ever lend a chainsaw to anyone.
That's a lie.
What?
I heard you once in here say, you said to your brother, I don't normally lend to anyone, but because you're my brother, I'll let you borrow it.
And he gave it back undamaged.
What do you mean? You go, oh, no, you don't lend tools out. They don't come back in the right condition or sometimes you never get them back.
The problem is, and I've lent my mower to someone and then next thing I was up for $200 in repairs because they go, and you, how you go to prove it? It might be a year and a half of the old mower and it breaks down while they're using it. And they go, it's no good. Sorry, I couldn't get it started. Well, hold on. It worked perfectly last time I used it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about this? Yeah. Will anyone ring? I don't know. 133353. Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever lent any of your... Do you have any tools?
Well, I'm the other person. I forget to return stuff. Like I borrowed a peacock chair from a girlfriend of mine who's a stylist for a baby shower.
What is a peacock chair?
And she messaged me and she said, hey, hun, I'd really love that peacock chair back. And I was like, oh, my God, I borrowed that.
Where was it sitting?
November for my sister's baby shower, I borrowed it.
I remember it because I think at the time I said, what's a peacock chair?
So she could actually ring and shame you.
She could ring and shame me.
So it's not just tools.
Yeah.
Anything.
It could be anything, but borrowing tools, you borrowed off Stav, which is a mind-boggling thing in itself, but you're going to return it. You're a good, responsible one.
How long's it been? What was it? What condition?
Borrow something, didn't give it back. Let's shame him. Les borrowed someone's motorbike and smashed it into a tree.
Oh, you can't do
that. What about Adam? Or a borrower be?
Adam wants to shame his mate Dave, who borrowed his ute and broke the tray.
Exactly.
Shame on you, Dave.
How do you break a tray? What do you put on there?
Ray from Jimboomba, his daughter borrowed a guitar pick he had used.
A guitar pick?
It's
not really a tool.
This is my English. Daughter borrowed guitar pick he had to use bread clip at gigs. So she borrowed the guitar pick and then he had to use a bread clip because she didn't give it back.
That's a MacIver Monday. I like that one.
Steve from Norman Park, 133353. Are you going to shame someone? Or is it
No, I've got someone to shame. How you doing, guys?
Yeah, good mate. Sir.
I have got this mate of mine, Quinny.
Quinny.
Every single thing you lend him comes back broken. He brings it back.
He gives us an
EG. A little
bit
sheepish.
Yeah.
Example, say number one, lending the Makita plane. He brings it back about a week later.
Broken blade.
And he says, I think I might have hit a nail.
Hit a nail.
And he's absolutely smashed the blades to pieces.
Steve, that's why you don't lend anything sharp like a chainsaw or a power saw. Oh, mate, hit a screw.
I've got a better example.
Give it to us.
The best one is I lend him my trailer.
This is Quinny again.
Yeah, Quinny, same guy. Yep. I'm thinking what can really go wrong with a trailer, right?
Nothing.
That's pretty tough. Anyway, Quinny uses a trailer, all good, successful. Except when he goes to bring the trailer back to my house, he forgets to plug the electrical socket in. So the socket's dragging along the ground. By the time it gets to my house, plug's gone, wires everywhere, the whole thing destroyed.
I thought it was going to be the other way. He drove away from your place with the plug still in and just drove away with the plug. He's a nightmare. You going to let him go, Steve?
Oh, look, he's a great bloke. I'll keep lending him stuff.
Yeah, so I think this is more of a Steve problem. This is more Steve's fault for keeping lending. On allowing and engaging Quinny.
Quinny's clearly a swindler.
He's clearly
a salesman
useless.
With no tools.
Yeah. Andrew from Albany Creek, good morning.
Hey, how are
we? Yeah, you want to name and shame someone, or is it you that did the borrowing?
No, my auntie.
Your auntie?
Yeah, good bloke, but... borrowed a fridge for our family, and then when we asked it back, we actually sold it on Toast.
Hold on. Borrowed your mum and dad's
fridge. Slow down,
fridge.
Andrew. Yeah, please explain. Your auntie borrowed a fridge from your parents, and what?
Yes, and sold it on them.
Sold it?
Yeah.
What was the excuse for selling it?
I don't know. Probably, who knows?
She just wanted the
money. Have we seen her since this incident?
she's a good bloke.
Does it get brought up at Christmas?
Every now and then, you know.
All right.
Does auntie have
Andrew.
A moustache? Is that why we're referring to her as a bloke?
I think so. Motto
and
Margo on
Triple M Breakfast. Hey, in amongst everything else, politics, front page of The Australian, the national paper is Peter Dutton. Brizzy bloke, former copper, he's there with his family. they reckon he's going to be elected unopposed as the opposition leader.
Okay. I told you the other day, his wife sold off her childcare centre. She had three childcare centres. She sold them off so she can be at home
She'll
with the
busy.
Kids.
Well, they got
and
three
he can
kids,
go ahead yeah. and forge his new career path in politics.
Now, I don't know. My brother's met him a few times, said he's a decent enough bloke. A lot of people don't like him, but he's a real, he really gets stuck into people. He'd be a good opposition leader. He might be a crap prime minister. I don't know, because he doesn't seem to be a person of the people, does he?
No.
But as an opposition leader, he'd get stuck into people. Probably be a good call.
Yeah, he lives out at Samford, I think. Is he local?
Yeah. Well, he represents people around Petrie to Samford, etc. I think he's got a little cattle property, you know, a little bit of land out there. Anyway, I watched him yesterday, and he, remember before the election, he got stuck into Albo. Maybe, I wonder if they regret when they have a go at people.
You could speak here all day, you wouldn't convince the Australian public you're strong.
Well, that wasn't right. He managed to...
Well, he doesn't look very strong, does he?
No, he's
looks
Albo.
Like he's lost a bit of weight.
Well, hopefully Albo does have a feed, because he's got 3 years to get through.
Up.
Yeah, buddy, you can go fat now, you'll be elected.
Get on the protein powder.
It's like getting married. Put on the weight you're already right now after the wedding.
Get complacent.
That Mark McGowan over in WA, he got stuck in yesterday into Dutton.
Did he?
He's an extremist.
Oh.
He's an extremist.
What does that mean? Didn't you lock the borders down and
Anyway, this is what happens in politics. Market. They just make all these claims. Like that Tanya Plibersek. Now, you'll hear her name because she's on the front bench. She's one of the attack dogs for the Labor. And, oh, Jesus, she's hit Peter Dutton pretty hard.
Well, I think there'll be a lot of children who've watched a lot of Harry Potter films who'll be very frightened of what they're seeing on TV at night. That's for sure. He looks a bit like Voldemort.
Oh, that's not nice.
Whoa.
That's mean. Could you imagine if a male politician condemned her for her looks? I mean, going after someone's look is like the lowest common denominator form of schoolyard fighting, isn't it?
And Voldemort, of all people, that evil person off Harry Potter. And why would you go that low? Why would you go that low? When we all know his proper nickname. Remember this in Parliament last year?
Order. Potato.
We all know he's potato.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Marco.
Marto, a lot of politics happening in the news, in the papers, across our news outlets, radio, and we don't try and talk politics too much unless we're having a lot of fun with it, having a bit of a dig. And so I apologise to anyone that we're doing a politics bit. Not really.
Oh, good.
I found a really funny story about a guy called Sam Lim. He won the seat of Tangany, wherever that is, for Labor. He speaks 10 different languages. Pretty interesting guy.
Is he a new parliamentarian?
He's a new parliamentarian. He's just won the seat.
Good freshly, on you, Sam.
Freshly elected.
Welcome
speaks
to the world.
10 different languages, and he's a former dolphin trainer.
Oh, my God. That's... Potentially 11 languages.
Maybe dolphin was one of the languages. Yeah, so you're telling me he went from being a dolphin trainer to becoming a parliamentarian?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is no form. No. Politician that was a former dolphin trainer.
That's the greatest pivoting of occupations I've ever seen.
And we've spoken about pivoting before.
Oh,
I just learnt this week that my makeup artist, I had to do a photo shoot for the Courier Mail, and the girl that does my makeup, Liz, is a friend of mine. Yeah. She's now no longer doing makeup and beauty because she worked for a big cosmetics house here in Queensland as a regional trainer and makeup artist. Mm. She is now painting for her husband's business.
Painting walls.
Internal, external.
Brilliant. Because you got to cut in really fine detail around eyes and mouth.
Yeah, I've spoken about that before.
That's the best transitioning ever.
She's completely pivoted.
Hold on. Can we grab that straight away? Dolphin trainer to parliamentarian, makeup artist to house painter. Hold on. Well, I love this. 133353. What were you? What are you now? I love people who transition.
Do you remember we had a guy who was a butler for a Formula One racer?
Yes.
And then I forgot what he's doing
in Brisbane. What did he do now? It'd probably ring again. Who knows?
You get to an age where you're too old to work in the same job, you want a sea change.
You drive past something and you end up going, I wouldn't mind doing that. And you do it.
133353. Give us a call. What were you? What are you now?
Matt from Bow Desert.
I was a weapons expert in the Royal Australian Navy, and now I'm an aged care worker and disability support worker.
Oh,
wow.
Do you threaten them?
Stop it, Matt. No.
You know what I used to do?
No, stop it. Matt, what was the turning point for you?
Well, when I was in the Navy, I got injured pretty badly.
Yeah,
so
okay.
And then it took me a while to recover, so I got medical discharged, and then I just bounced from job to job, and I was looking for something, and stumbled into aged care and loved it. And
captivated by it.
Do you provide entertainment for them? Like, do you take a Nerf ball gun into the...
I'm not allowed to do that.
Thank you, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Craig Sorry from Kashmir, good morning.
G'day.
What were you, mate? What are you now?
All right, I was a butcher, then I was a soldier, then I was a snake catcher, and I'm currently doing a probation period for a locksmith.
Okay, what happened? Were you not good at all those other things? How did the transition occur?
Butcher was too long, spent too long at work, so I joined the army to spend some more time at home. That sounded like a good idea.
Hold on.
You go away from
the other way, wouldn't it? Do you have a lot of wars in your house? Like, what? And then what happened as a soldier?
I got injured. I injured my knee. I got discharged from there.
Came a snake catcher.
Become a snake catcher. It was less work.
Yes. And then you realised you were afraid of snakes? What happens, Craig?
it's just a bit sporadic, that work.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, it's a real
Can't rely on snakes.
And now you're a locksmith. Do you love it? Will you stay there? Is that it now?
If I can, yeah. It's a job that I can do with my sort of bung knee. So.
Is it a thing, Craig, you know, you get to a point where you're just like, you know what, life's too short to stay in a job that I don't like or... Mm.
That's how life is. Colin from Inala, what were you? What are you?
Oh, I used to be a jig setter framer, and I'm now a prosthetic technician.
All right.
Okay, talk to me. What's a jig setter?
I just do roof trusses and frames.
So in factories, they make up like the frame, send them out. Right. Okay. So you were that. That's probably good. What's a prosthetic technician again?
Artificial limbs.
But what do you
make them, or do you fit them to the patient?
No. I manufacture them. I make artificial limbs, legs, braces, all that sort of stuff.
Well, I mean, the supply and demand in the construction industry is short of trusses and framing. We've seen. Why did you go out of that business and into this new one?
Well, that was I was doing the trusses and frames back in the late 90s, and I had a couple of companies shut down on me in a short period of time, and I was out of work, and I kind of stumbled into this job and
learned on the job. Yeah, would have had to have an interview. Did you say, listen, this is what I do, I build frames? And they said, perfect, this is perfect.
Well, no, it was more a case. I started as an assistant around the lab, and I've learned on the job over the last 25 years.
What's your specialty, arms, legs, elbows?
Probably legs. Legs are good.
Yeah. So he stumbled into the job.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Colin. What were you? What are you? It's great.
Colin, I'm going to speak to you at some stage off air. I got so many more questions.
It's good never too Colin. Late to change your mind. You could be anything you want to be.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Well, if you didn't see it yesterday, across every news outlet and on every radio station in the news, 21 now people have been confirmed shot dead by an 18-year-old gunman in Texas, Marto, and it's going to spark mass debate, not only in the US, but everybody's going to have a viewpoint on it across the world.
Oh, God, the right to bear arms, that's what all the Americans say. All you keep saying is Americans are insane.
Mm, I can't speak to the politics around gun control because I don't know about it. I don't understand it. I don't know why it's a thing. But I can relate to being a mum and the absolute incomprehensible position that these parents who have lost their children's lives are now facing. To anyone that has lost a child, I cannot imagine or begin to speak on it. But yesterday, the US president addressed not only his nation, but the world, and not just as a president, but as someone, a father, who has lost not one, but two children, and his first wife.
Has he lost two children?
He lost his wife and his baby in a car accident.
Oh, God.
And then he lost his son, Beau, in 2015 to brain cancer.
I knew that one. Oh, God.
No wonder
he spoke so well yesterday.
I can't even begin to speak to it because I could not imagine what that would be like for any parent. But he did speak on it yesterday, and I just want to leave this with you.
I had hoped when I became president I would not have to do this again. Another massacre, an elementary school, beautiful, innocent, second, third, fourth graders. The parents who will never see their child again, never have them jump in bed and cuddle with them. Parents will never be the same. To lose a child is like having a piece of your soul ripped away. There's a hollowness in your chest. You feel like you're being sucked into it and never going to be able to get out. Suffocating.
These kinds of mass shootings rarely happen anywhere else in the world. Why? They have mental health problems. They have domestic disputes in other countries. They have people who are lost. But these kinds of mass shootings never happen with the kind of frequency they happen in America. Why? As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. Our prayer tonight was those parents lying in bed and trying to figure out, will I be able to sleep again? What do I say to my other children? May God bless the loss of innocent life on this sad day.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Have you got a rumour? We'd love to hear it. That could also score you $1,000. We like to reward our rumours. 133353. If you've heard anything recently, let Snow and our producing team know. Or you can also be anonymous. Just text 0484101045. The only time we'll need to know details is when we put money in your bank.
No, okay, there's a fair few people sneak it through on the burner phone. They text it through and some of them are ridiculous, but we still investigate. We do a little bit of scratching around. I'll tell you this one. Daniel from, well, hold on. Daniel's asked that, not to give his company away or suburb. Actually, I'm not going to give his trade away either. He's a tradie. I'll just say tradie. I won't give which specific because he's tipped us off about a job he's recently been working on. Daniel's been working on a new venue in Brisbane, as in entertainment venue, bar sort of thing, that's right, to be opened by former Broncos skipper and future immortal Darren Lockyer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's done a fair bit of stuff
before. He's dabbled in that area before. He had he had three bars called Ice Bar. One of them was here in Paddington. He had one at Clayfield and he had one at New Farm. Yeah, Commercial Road. What's the one on the river where the wool stores and that is?
That one, yeah.
Yeah, he had one down one there as well.
Oh, righto. So he's,
I think he owns a gin distillery as well in Brisbane.
Part owner. Yeah. A lot of people get Darren Lockyer and say, oh, Darren's a part owner. And I've seen these deals happen before just to grab the fame and just so they can help
they
trade
got
on
the name
that.
There. Yeah.
I don't know any football player that has invested his career so wisely.
That's Darren Lockyer.
Darren Lockyer, yeah. He has got his finger in every pie and just making incredible amounts of money off it.
That's the rumour today from Daniel. It looks like Lockie's expanding his portfolio with a new venue set to open in inner Brisbane.
So inner Brisbane. Not giving any more than that?
Later this year.
Have you heard any more? It's just inner Brisbane.
No, that's all Daniel told us, but we got to protect him because otherwise the thing is he'll get the, if his company will go, well, hold on, you told Triple M this, so we're trying to keep things.
His brother's a builder too, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. Matt
Lockyer.
True. Okay. I've met him.
All right, Daniel, we really appreciate it. Could be $1,000 in it for you. You can text us 0484101045 or call us 133353. It's back again tomorrow.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
People always say, what time do you get up and what else do they ask? They always say, how do you work out what you're going to talk about on the show? Well, we have meetings after the show and stuff for a brief period, you know, for half an hour or sometimes an hour, etc. And that's where we, you know, have a brief outline. Am I allowed to tell out loud all this?
Sometimes it's behind the curtain. Sometimes it's not brief. It goes for a little while.
Yeah.
It might be a PowerPoint.
Sometimes you just throw things at what we call the board just to get out of the meeting.
And it's to get out of the meeting. And sometimes
then we get into the meeting in the next morning and you go, oh, no, I just put that up there to get out of the meeting.
That's true. And sometimes on
how far behind the curtain do you want to go here,
sometimes on Fridays I have to leave because I've got to catch a boat sometimes.
No, they're the best excuses. When you say, I've got to be on a boat to go to Morton, I go, yes, that means I get out early too.
Do you want to tell everyone what happened yesterday? Why didn't we have a meeting yesterday? You had to go and get your face fixed. I've never heard an excuse like that. Like, I work in a mail.
Hang on. I went to my cosmetic esthetician.
She said she had to go to her cosmetic whatever, something or other. I said, what? She said, oh, the bag's under my eyes.
I said, I'm looking old and tired. Breakfast radio hasn't been kind to me. I've put on 20 kilos and I look about 10 years older.
Have you thought about, like, booking those things later, though?
Exactly.
Like, not straight up.
I'm here till 10 o'clock.
Right.
Oh, it wasn't 10 o'clock.
My appointment was at 10:15 and I was late.
Okay.
I've never.
And Marto with the boat. This is all starting to add up.
I said, I'm going to go and get filler and Botox, leave me alone.
No, not that stuff. But I've just, I've worked my whole life in male-dominated industries. I've never heard anyone say, listen, let's hurry this up. I've got to get going.
I've got to get my face done.
I've got to get my face done. I've just, Has anyone, like, does that happen anywhere else? Like, who? How did you get away with that? Which I'm happy you did because the meeting.
We
there
got
was
out
no
of the meeting.
Meeting.
It was wonderful.
Exactly. Excuses at work.
Jesus, you two are conniving.
You're welcome. Well,
yes.
All right.
Is that
1-3-3-5-3.
No. Well, there's bosses out there going, "Oh, I've heard it all." Well, have you ever heard that one? Has any of your workers said, "I got to, I really got to get my face done"?
Well, sometimes I sit in that meeting. I'm like, "Oh God, how do I get out of this? What are they talking about now?"
Okay.
I pretend
one, triple,
to listen.
1-3-3-5-3. Worst. It might be the best excuse to leave work.
Best stroke. Worst excuse.
Yeah. Mainly bosses would have heard them all.
I often use my kids because that's always a great one. I'm like, "Oh, I got to go and watch them do this." So they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, sure, go be a mum." That's great.
Sea Fuel in Cleveland. Experience great tasting seafood like never before. We got some vouchers to give away for some of our favourite callers. So best stroke, worst excuses to get out of work.
Yeah.
All right.
Stuart from Morningside. Hello.
Hi, guys. I've talked to you a few times. I'm from the bush. And I don't really like the city at the best of times.
Yeah. Meetings. Meetings. Yeah.
Well, I'm only here because my son here plays footy, right?
Yeah.
And since he's been here, he's paid $6,500 in fines on walk-on orders in the valley, so he's like a very good taxpayer to the Queensland Police.
Righto.
Anyway, I've got a girlfriend that I kissed when I was 18 after we left school. I was married for 24 years. Anyway, we're back together.
Stuart, have you called the right radio station, Stuart? We were looking for best worst excuses to get out of work. Not your son and his fines and not the girl you kissed when you were 18.
She had to leave work because she broke her fingernail.
Oh, there you go.
We got there.
All right.
Thanks, Stuart.
Beauty. All right.
What?
Sometimes Stuart's story reminded me of sometimes me asking a question when we have an interviewee. I like talk around in circles until then I finally get to the point.
That 3 minutes we'll never get
a little
back.
Bit like Stuart's story.
I do want to know about Stuart's son.
No, you don't.
Because Stuart, in future, he could have just said, "I used to date this girl who got out of work once because she hurt her fingernail. Done. Over. Yeah. Thanks,
and everyone
Stuart.
Falls apart. Now Jeff, we can all get some sleep.
Jeff from Wishart. Good morning.
Morning. How are we?
Don't be like Stuart. Get to the point.
No, I'm not going to be a Stuart.
Best or worst. Best or worst excuse for getting out of work. No.
A few years ago, I had one of my team members tell me on a Monday, "Oh, this Friday, I've got to go in for a colonoscopy." And I was like, "Oh, are you okay? Is everything all right?"
Bloody
he said, Yeah, it's just fine. Just, you know, it happens every couple of years. Anyway, about 11 o'clock, I had one of my customers ring up and say, "Hey, I'm on the barge going over to Stratty and Jacko's here, and he's trying to avoid me. He won't. He's hiding in his car. Is everything okay?"
All right. How did you approach Jacko on the Monday?
First thing I said to him in the morning when he came in, I've gone, "Mate, did you go in for a tanning or something like that?" I said, "Because you got a nice little glow going there."
That's
Oh, funny, you know, my colonoscopy got changed.
Oh, how are those polyps?
He'd already taken
the day off. He may as well use it to his advantage.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it was either the doctor putting his hand up there or me, so one of the two.
Oh, geez, there's some loose ones here.
Hey,
we can't put anyone.
Yeah. Sea Fuel Cleveland got a voucher for you. Go and get some seafood. Good on you, Jeff.
Thanks, mate.
Good on you.
Bronson from Thornland split his pants. Is that fair enough? Is that a reason?
Was it in the front or the back?
Oh, I see.
Could be conditional.
Sam from Corona Downs, clothes were dirty.
Aaron from Anonymous, not Aaron. One of his colleagues took a whole day off to get the COVID jab.
Oh, fair enough.
What about you, Dave from Newmarket? Was it you that gave the best worst excuse or a staff member?
One of my staff members only a few weeks ago rang me up, couldn't come in because their guinea pig died.
That's
10 minutes late to work. That's not a whole day, surely, Dave. What was the story after that?
Well, the next morning, rang in again, said it's still too grief-stricken to come to work. So
was it the Pope of guinea pigs? How long were they mourning for?
Oh, well, that was just back the next day, so, 2 days.
2 days off for a guinea pig.
Dave.
Yeah.
Wow.
I ran over my own dog and didn't even take a day off.
Oh, yeah, you need context to that, Margo. It's Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.